A bit chaotic, but you know what? We're here. God got us here this morning. And God is going to do something here this morning in the house. So if you have your Bible, we're still in the book of Ephesians. We kicked off this series about 5 weeks ago. And we're going to continue on in Ephesians this morning. And I'm going to look at Ephesians 5. And over the last couple of weeks, we've learned about who we are as believers in God, how God loves us, how God has forgiven us, how we can come into the throne room of the Father and know that we can have access to our God. We're partakers of his gift and of the promise. And what that basically means is that we have the Holy Spirit, that God has given us the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at chapter 5 in Ephesians. And there's a couple of verses that we're going to go through. But before we go there, I've actually called this sermon Doing Life with God. Doing Life with God. What does it mean to do life with God? But what does it mean to do life with people? You know, to do life with people, it means to spend time with someone. It means getting to know them. It means getting to know them on a deeper level. We all do life with people, whether it's in work, whether it's in school, whether it's in college. We all do life with people around us, but that doesn't mean that we know them. Isn't that right? It doesn't mean that we know their innermost needs or their innermost wounds that they might have. You see, doing life with someone, it's learning how to trust. And for me, I get to do life with a lot of people in the church. For me, I get to give of my time, my energy, and sometimes my resources. And I'm listening to people. I'm listening to their joys, but I'm also listening to their woes. And I also get to speak honestly into people's lives. And when I get to speak into people's lives, it's really to encourage them along in the faith. It's really to, you know, give them the direction of where the Holy Spirit wants to take them. It's not about criticizing somebody. It's not about labeling somebody. But I'm all for praying for people and all for spurring them along in the faith. And sometimes, as I said, I have to speak into people's lives with love. You know, if they're going off course, and that's okay. But this morning, I want to talk about Ephesians 5, how to love Jesus, how to love people, and how to put love on. You see, it tells us in Ephesians 5 how we can pursue clean living. And before we set out on this journey together, I need everybody to know that there's nobody judged here in this room this morning. Because God came, he sent his son so that we could have freedom. So that we all could have freedom in this house here this morning. So let there be no condemnation here. Because we have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. So we're going to kick off Ephesians 5. And this is what it says. I think it's on the overhead. It says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and to walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there should be no hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And the fruitless deeds of dark, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Amen. This is the word of God. This is God's word. And you know, Paul, the apostle Paul, you know, he spoke to the Ephesian church. You see, the apostle Paul had done life with the Ephesian people. And when he was with the Ephesian people, he brought many to know God. Many of them had taken Jesus as their first love. Jesus was their first love. But along the way, obstacles became in the Ephesian people's lives. And you see, Paul was reaching out to the Ephesians, and he was telling them in this verse in chapter 5 how to pursue clean living, how not to slip back into their old ways. You see, as believers, our conduct is to be worthy of our calling, that we walk in love, that we walk as light, that we walk as wise people, as men and women of God. And why is it so important? You see, as followers of God, as his children, just like in our home, and if you have children here today, they're going to follow in your footsteps, isn't that right? They're going to follow your examples, isn't that right? You know, starting from birth, kids are wired to learn how to imitate through talking, through singing, and through walking. And they learn to imitate the good, the bad, and even the funny stuff. You know, when I started out preaching the word of God, I would get the word together, and on a Saturday night, I would be in my bedroom. And little did I know, my son Jamie used to be looking through the door. And next of all, he would burst through the door, and he would begin to take me off preaching. Because you see, when I was preaching on a Saturday night, all of yous were in my house. Little did yous know that. But my son would burst through the door, and he would begin to imitate me. He would begin to take me off preaching, and he did a pretty good job. But you know, this is what kids do. They imitate us from the time they're young. And this is what Paul is calling out to the Ephesian church, that we become imitators of God, that we learn God's ways. As a child learns how to imitate their parents, we need to follow in God's examples. You see, as believers, we're called to be different. We're called to be set apart. We're called to let our light shine in the world. That's what the Word of God says. There is a promise on your life as an individual here today. There's a call on your life as an individual here today. And that call is that you reach the world for God. That you reach the world, that you bring the gospel to many people in the world. Our responsibility is that we move out, each one of us here, that we move out and we impact society. And how we do that is we become more like Jesus. We love like Jesus. We talk like Jesus. I met Jesus 18 years ago. And he became my first love 18 years ago, and I've never let him go. We've got to learn to forgive like Jesus. We've got to focus on becoming more like him. And when we focus to become more like him, we become less bothered about stuff that used to make us mad and consume us. You see, Jesus laid down his life for us. His life in love. He laid down his life in love for us. And his example teaches us how to walk in love. And this is a description of God's love. His love is patient. His love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Imagine that. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. God will never fail you. He will never fail you. We've got to look at this man, Christopher. Look how God has turned him around. God will never fail you, Christopher. Because why? Because you stood out and you answered the call. And God is faithful. Amen. Love shows kindness to all. Love went about doing good to everyone. Every single person. And by God, did Jesus come up against it. He came up against a lot of stuff when he was here on the earth. But he still chose to love the ones that came up against him. Love did not covet what others had, but he lived a humble life. He never complained. Love did not brag about what he was in the flesh. Love is always looking out for the interest of others. When we focus on love, when we focus on Jesus, we learn how to imitate God. We become more like God. And you know, Paul tells the Ephesians, we've just read it, he tells them how to be free from any hint of greed or immorality. You see, as believers, you know, we shouldn't cheat or we shouldn't be greedy. We shouldn't steal or we shouldn't lie. That we're honest people. That we put God first. Even when we're in the workplace, that we keep our witness of God upon our lives. That we don't rob the office supplies, but that we keep our love on. You see, it says in Romans that every man and woman will stand before God and give an account of their lives. It also says in Ephesians that we die to ourselves, that we don't become covetous. I want what you've got, Sharon. I want the gifts that you've got. I want the house that you've got. You see, the Bible says it's wrong. It's wrong to want what somebody else has. But that we're thankful for what God has given us and blessed us with. That we're always thankful for what we have. It also says that Paul talked to the Ephesian people and he said not to gossip. That we conduct our way, that we conduct ourselves in a way that's pleasing to God. That we don't talk about a situation and keep on talking about it and keep on talking about it and keep on going around the roundabout. You see, gossip fills us full of debt. Debt. But when we do the right thing, when we put love on, we're filled full of life. You see, it's life when we put love on. Our conversations are always seasoned with salt. That we're full of grace, that we don't fall into obscene and vulgar joking. You see, Paul, he loved the Ephesian people. He so loved them that he didn't want them slipping back into their old ways. And Paul, he was more or less cautioning them. And he was telling them, keep your love on. That those who walk in the light have a presence of God inside of them. You see, this is seen in the way that we act, the way that we speak, the way that we love one another, the way that we treat people, and the way that we think about our life here on the earth. He also brings out about sexual immorality. You see, the Bible says not to have sex until you get married. You know, myself and Stephen, you know, we heard a message like this many, many years ago. And we had been living together for a long, long time. And we decided then to make things right with God. So he put a ring on me. Yeah. And we got married. But you know, we loved Jesus. We loved him so much. You know, and we hadn't got 2 brown pennies to rub together to get married. Honestly. Honestly. Because every obstacle was coming in our way. We had 2 children. We had a house. We were up to that in bills and debt. And our heart's desires was to get married and to put it right, to put Jesus as our first love. So we put a ring on it. He put a ring on me. And we set a date. And you know what? God opened doors. He opened many doors for us. We had the big white wedding or whatever you want to call it. We had all the trimmings. We had all that, you know. We even had a honeymoon. Why? Because we did it right. Because we put love on. We put God on. You see, marriage is about commitment. It's not about a piece of paper. And for everybody here, and for those of you that are single, I salute you. I salute you if you're keeping yourself before God. God will honor you. God will honor you. If you've taken that vow to keep yourself before God, He will honor you. You know, another thing that we need to consider is how we walk as light. You see, to walk as light, we need to put off the old man and the old woman. We need to take it off, and we need to actually turn around. We need to do a 360 degree turnaround from the way we are living. You see, we need to be different. Our lifestyle should produce fruit and goodness, and we need to be growing in the faith and maturing as believers. You see, doing life with God is to have a daily commitment of prayer, of studying the Word, of meditating on the Word, and letting our mind be renewed by the Spirit. We've got to put off the old man. We've got to put off the old woman. You see, the new man doesn't lie. The new man speaks truth. You see, the new man doesn't steal, but the new man, he begins to help others. You see, the new man doesn't care. He didn't care what used to come out of his mouth. That was the old man, but the new man does. You see, the new man avoids coarse conversation and gossip, and he seasons his conversations full of grace. He seasons his conversations full of life. You see, Paul makes it clear to the Ephesians that to be more like Jesus, it involves a putting off of the old ways and a putting on of the new way. And sometimes I hear Christians saying it's too hard. This life is just too hard. And yeah, it is. This life can be hard. But nothing is hard when God is in it. Nothing is hard when God is in it. When we submit to God and when we do it His way, nothing is hard. You see, we can learn to forgive people. People that have wounded us, people that have hurt us. And sometimes you may not want to forgive someone, or you may not feel that it's right to forgive someone. But you can do it. And you may not think that it makes sense. But when we put God first, when we do it God's way, we get the breakthrough. And when we put God first, we're careful about what way we live. And how we do that is we confess our sins, we avoid temptation, and we turn around. We don't keep practicing the stuff that we used to fall into. You see, our number one goal should be, I'm pleasing God, I'm glorifying God, I'm representing you, God. And yes, you'll come up against obstacles when you don't put your boyfriend first or you don't put your girlfriend first. But when we put God first, we keep growing. We keep producing fruit. And we keep producing life. And sin loses its grip on us. And we receive His blessings. You see, when we walk as wise people, it tells us in Ephesians 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise people. You see, to walk with wisdom is living with a purpose. It's living with a purpose and living with a plan. But if we don't know God's will, we're going to squander our time here on the earth. We're going to be going after stuff that doesn't really matter. You see, living carefully or wisely is to pay attention to where your life is going. Being careful means being wise, keeping your eyes open, looking where we're going in life. You see, the opposite to walking carefully is to walk foolishly and not pay attention. You see, if I was to walk into a room full of snakes, which I wouldn't, but if I was to walk into a room full of snakes, I would be watching every single step I took. I would be making sure that there's nothing lurking in the shadows, making sure that there's nothing there that might attack me. And you see, we have an enemy that's roaming around the city and he wants to take us out. And we have to be careful where we tread our footsteps, because he's only waiting for us to slip up. He's only waiting to come and accuse us, because he's the father of lies. He's the father that begins to speak death over us. And you see, Paul was speaking to the Ephesians and he begins to say to them, wake up and realize the dangerous situation into which some of them were slipping into. He says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. We need to wake up and we need to get ready, because God is coming back. How many of us has God told us to do something and we still haven't done it? We haven't put off the old man or the old woman. We haven't turned around. We haven't done a 360 degree turn. You see, the word says we're called to imitate. We're called to be like Jesus. As children of Jesus, we sing praises. We love people. We love God. We put God first. We put love on. We give thanks to God in every single situation that we're in, whether it's good, bad, or funny. We give thanks to God. We submit to one another. When I became a Christian first, I submitted to one of the leaders in the house for accountability, because I needed to have that support as a young believer. And I still have that support as a leader today. I'm accountable to Noel and Sharon. And you know, it doesn't matter where you are in the church, whether you're a leader or it doesn't matter, but accountability is good because it keeps us on track. It means that someone can speak into my life and say, hey, are you doing okay? And that I get honest with them and I get real with them. We've got to stop sleepwalking and we've got to stop being led by the ways of the world. You see, to walk in love, light and wisdom, we have to live a life above reproach. And that simply means that our lives are free from sinful habits. Put off the old man today. Put him off. Get rid of him. Put on the new man. Put love on, because Jesus loves you. Let Jesus be your first love. It doesn't mean that we have to be perfect. I'm not perfect. Noel and Sharon are not perfect. We get it wrong sometimes. But we confess our sins and we turn around. We get back up and we keep going. And how we do that is being filled every single day by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to call on His help every day. We've got to live a life free from sin. We've got to study the Word of God. We've got to get it into the core of our being. Because when the attacks come, the Word of God just begins to come and fly out of your mouth, and then the enemy flees. We've got to allow our faith take action. You know something, what I learned as a Christian? We don't have to come to God with a begging bowl. Do you know that? We don't have to come as people that beg God. That's right, we're not orphans. We don't even have to haggle with God. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to fast. We don't have to get on our knees. We don't have to fast for hours. We don't have to even plead. All we need is a little bit of faith. And if you have faith this morning, the size of a mustard seed, God will use that. God will work with that. You know, if I had a check and I wanted to cash it for 100 euros, and in my bank account, if I knew I had thousands of euros, it'd be great. But if I knew I had, I'd go to the bank, I'd place the check on the counter, and I'd get down on one knee and I'd beg the cashier to cash the check for me. No, I wouldn't. You see, I would go to that bank in faith. I'd place that check on the counter. And I would know I would receive that 100 euro. I would know. And it's the same with our faith. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, just a little bit, God will use that. God will work with that. And I see too many Christians begging God. I did it in the early days of my walk. Until I realized I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior 18 years ago. And when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came and lived in me. He came and lived in me. I also realized that there's many different fillings of the Holy Spirit every day. And you see, God commands us that we ask to be filled, that we ask to be transformed, that we ask for His help, because we can't do this on our own. You see, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, in your inner man and inner woman, that will help you with the struggles that you have in this life. You see, He's here to help us. He's here to fill us. And when He fills us, we receive joy. We receive peace. We receive love. We receive kindness, goodness, self-control. We receive faithfulness. When we claim the fullness of His Spirit by faith, we're being filled over and over and over again. You see, Paul encourages us. He says to stir up the gift of the Spirit that's within you. Stir up the gift of the Spirit that's within you. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And with every head bowed, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I don't know whether everybody knows Jesus here in this room today, but I can tell you He's very much alive. He's very much present in my life and in many people that I know that do life at this church. And if you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to this message today. If you have a past, if you need a friend, I want to tell you that Jesus holds your future. He's the one that can help you in this life. And if you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart today, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up. Is there anybody here this morning that would like to receive Jesus into their heart? We heard Christopher's testimony 4 months ago. This was a man that was struggling with heroin addiction, and Jesus came into his heart and set him free. And the same Jesus that set Christopher free can set you free. The same Jesus that helped Christopher, whatever you're struggling with, can help you this morning. Is there anybody else in the room that would like to accept Jesus into their hearts? We're going to say this prayer. We're all going to say it together. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. I ask for your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, for setting me free from my sins. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit and be with me forever. And if you've prayed that prayer, come and see one of us at the end. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And if your heart is towards this message, Lord, I want to do life with you. I want to shine. I need to shine. And if your heart is, wake me up, Lord. Wake me up so that I can respond to the truth of your word. Stir me up, Lord, to the plan and the purpose that you have for my life. Because God does have a plan and a purpose for everybody here. Every single person here. He has a call on your life. He has a plan for you to reach this world. There's people dying in our world that don't even know Jesus. And maybe you could be that person that he sends to tell them about Jesus. If you need a stirring up in your life for more of Jesus, more of his light, more of his glow in your life, that you don't want to fellowship anymore with the works of darkness, if you need the Holy Spirit to help you turn around, you need to take an action of faith here this morning. If you need a stirring up of the Spirit to put love on, Jesus is here. If you want to grow and glow for Jesus, I'm going to invite you to come. And to come and worship him. He's here. You see, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's Jesus that will set you free. It's Jesus that will take that sin out of your life. It's only through the power of his Spirit that he'll make you grow. He'll make you glow. He'll make you produce. He'll make you produce good fruit in your life. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's the first love. If you put him first, the blessings will come. Every blessing that he has stored in heaven for you, he will begin to release. He will begin to release when you put him first. And we're going to open up the front, and the prayer team will be here if you want prayer. We're going to go in and worship.